Learning Sefer Tehillim, this is Shir number 4 with the commentary of Am Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding chapter 7, Pasuk 1. Shigoyom le David asher shor l'Hashem al dirvechush ben yemini. Shigoyon of David, which he sang to Hashem concerning Cush Benjamin. Night. We actually started this pasuk, or actually said this pasuk in the previous tape, but since we started a new tape, we repeated the pasuk based on the eulogies that David delivered after the death of Shaul and his sons. As we find in Shmuel Beis, we know how deeply distressed and grieved he was by the death of Shaul, the chosen of Hashem. Accordingly, he gives expression to his regret that in a moment of great trouble he had committed the error of having spoken with the joy of song when Shaul was down. That this error pertains to the time that he cut off a piece of Shaul's cloak may be inferred from the scripture having written there, "And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Shaul's cloak." Again, that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Others explain that David offered this prayer in case he had been wrong to chant a song at Shaul's downfall. He feared that perhaps his action stemmed from a desire for self-glorification. Another interpretation based on the Talmud is that David rejoiced at having discovered his error. What error? That he had not fully realized Shaul's greatness. Even his pursuit of David had a pure motive. It stemmed from his conviction that the destruction of the seed of Amalek could only come about at the hand of a descendant of Rachel. Being himself from the tribe of Benjamin, he wanted to prolong his reign in order to deal with Amalek. As soon as David understood this, he sang a song to Hashem. Some explain that Shigoyon means a hymn or a thing of joyous play. David rejoiced while composing this psalm. We can learn from David how far a man must strive to control his anger. Although he would have been justified in killing Shaul, who wanted to kill him, he held back and also forbade his men to harm him. Symbolically, this is hinted to by the word kenaf, whose numerical value is the same as ka'as, anger. David prays to be rid of his anger. Some say that a Cush, a Benjamite, refers to Shimi ben Gera, who had cursed David. He was different than other men in his evil deeds. Others explain that the verse refers to David's sojourn in Nob. When he sought refuge from Shaul, he prayed not to fall into the hands of his enemies and that his seed should not perish, as we will learn now in the following psukim. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hashem lekai b'chol chosisi hoshieni mikol rodfai v'atzileni. O Hashem, my God, in you have I put my trust. Save me from all of them that pursue me and deliver me. King David says, "My foe Shaul was in my power, but I let him depart," as we find in Shmuel Aleph. "For strong is my trust in you, that you will deliver me not only from the hand of Shaul, but from the hand of all my enemies. Because in you have I put my trust, and not in my own powers, or in anyone else besides you. It's only just that you save me from all of them that pursue me, and deliver me. For it is a mark of honor for a prince or a mighty man to provide protection for one who comes to him seeking refuge." After David had sworn that he would not kill Shaul, he was in great danger of being killed. But he also feared that his perilous situations would force him to strike at the anointed of Hashem. Accordingly, he says here, "Save me from all of them that pursue me, that I not be killed, and deliver me that I should not kill Shaul. O Hashem, my God, in you have I put my trust. Whether you treat me with the attribute of mercy or the attribute of stern judgment, in you have I put my trust." Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. pen yitrov ke'arye nafshi porek ve'ein matzil, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to save. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, a reference to King Saul, who had the faithful allegiance of many to carry out his commands. But David was alone and persecuted from all sides. The lion is the king of beasts, and when he tears his kill, there is none to save it. Thus our sages rule that if a lion tears a lamb from the flock, the shepherd is not liable, being considered as one under duress, an oinus. Since there is none to save, Saul was like a predatory lion against David. David speaks of Saul as the enemy of my soul. I do not fear for my body, my physical well-being. I do not flee from him out of a desire to inherit the throne. No, it is for my soul that I fear, that because of him I will not behold the splendor of Hashem to visit early in his temple. Thus David complained, "Cursed be they before Hashem, for they have driven me out this day, that I should not cleave to the inheritance of Hashem." A pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Like a lion rendering Parak in pieces, he's like a lion tearing the neck of his kill, and there is none to save me except you. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hashem Elokai Masisi Zos Im Yesh Ovel V'Chapoy. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is an iniquity on my hands, if any man say that Shaul has pursued me because I pursued others, I deny it. I say, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity on my hands, if I have rewarded with evil him that is at peace with me, if I have so acted, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it and tread my life down to the earth. Yes, let him lay my honor in the dust. Lord my God, you know the secrets of man. It is revealed and known before you if I have so done to another man, or if there is iniquity on my hands. Thus the Talmud teaches, Hillel saw a skull floating under water and said to it, because you drowned others, you would drown. We find this in Pirkei Avos. Hashem punishes any man who has sinned against another man, even if he has not committed any other transgression against Hashem. David speaks as he does because it is the way of the righteous men to justify their righteousness. He says, I have committed no wrong against Saul or against any other man. More, I have not rewarded with evil him who has wronged me. On the contrary, I have rescued him that is my enemy, without cause. According to interpretation that this psalm is directed against an enemy named Cush, a Benjamite, David is saying, even if I have done this, there is no iniquity on my hands, for if one rises to kill you, you may kill him first. David explains why he called upon heaven to judge him, rather than submit to the judgment of men. An explanation is required, for the Talmud teaches that one who submits to the judgment of heaven is punished first. Thus we find that Sorum was punished because she said to Avram, Hashem should judge between me and you, as we find this in Chumash Bereishis. That was when Avram said to her, behold, your maidservant is in your hand. Do to her that which is good in your eyes. The answer is that Sarah had committed a wrong, which he dealt harshly with Hagar. But David insists that, you know I'm of upright heart, and there is no iniquity on my hands. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Im gamalti sholmi ro v'chaltzo sorri rekom. If I have rewarded with evil him that is at peace with me, or I have rescued him that is without cause, my enemy. David justifies having cut off a part of Saul's cloak because he was in mortal danger. He hoped to save himself by convincing Saul that he was not his enemy. Hence it says here, I have rescued him that is without cause, my enemy. Others explain that David says, I did not send him off empty-handed, but gave him provisions for the road. Another interpretation says, it has always been my custom to send away those who hate me without cause. Then again, David says, when my men wanted to kill Saul in the cave, I acted generously to rescue him from their hands. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Yeiradov, Oyev, Nafshi, V'yaseg, V'yirmos, La'oretz, Chayoy, uchvodi la'ofer yashken selam. Let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and tread my life down to the earth. Yes, let him lay my glory, my honor in the dust, selam. Let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Until now, Shaul has pursued me without overtaking me. But if I'm guilty of such wrongdoing, let him now pursue me and overtake me. More, let him tread my life down to the earth. Yes, let him lay my honor in the dust forever. May my soul never return, and may God never forgive me. The historical contrast is provided when the scripture says later about Jehoiakim, the evil Merodach king of Babylon did lift up the head of the Jehoiakim king of Yehuda out of prison, as we find in Melachim Beis. His royal honor was restored. Some say that David prayed for God's help to bring an end to the interminable wars he had to wage against his enemies, for he was in constant dread of killing more of his adversaries than was justified by self-defense and survival. Thus he says, O Lord my God, in you have I put my trust. Save me from all of them that pursue me and deliver me. Why? Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to save. That is, lest I forfeit my soul by killing more than is necessary to save lives. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is an iniquity in my hands, if I have done this, if I have killed when that was not necessary for saving myself, so if I have rewarded him with evil him that is at peace with me, or I have rescued him that is without cause my enemy, I destroyed any man's possessions without cause, then let my punishment be that my enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and tread my life down to the earth. Yes, let him lay my honor in the dust forever. Some interpret the words Yirdov Oyev Nafshi as an apostate, as an allusion to David's troubles. He was perpetually haunted by enemies who trampled on life and honor. The beginning of the pasuk is also perceived as a complaint about the enemy hunting my soul. His enemies were not content to strike at his possessions, as he had done by cutting off a piece from Shaul's cloak. They were after his life. His foes were not only eager for his capture and imprisonment, but wanted to kill him. Some note that the word Yirdov can be read here as either the weaker or stronger meaning of pursuit. Hence David is saying, the enemy pursues me and incites others to pursue me. Let him lay honor in the dust forever. The enemy is convinced that my death will be an eternal death and that I will not rise at the resurrection, for he regards me as a man of blood and deceit. Some explain that let him lay my honor in the dust refers to the attempt by his enemies to disqualify him from the congregation of Israel due to his descent from Ruth the Moabite. There could be no greater humiliation. The verse is also perceived as expressing astonishment. It is then right and just that an enemy pursue my soul and overtake me and tread my life down to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Have I not been more generous? Have I not acted beyond the letter of the law by sending away my enemies in peace? And in Gemalti Sholmi Ra is rendered, have I not repaid evil with peace? In a subtle reading, the verse is seen to allude to the evil inclination, the passionate nature that afflicted David from early youth, and was always there to ensnare his soul. If he succumbed to temptation, Satan would rise on high and condemn him. Then it descended as the angel of death to destroy him. Accordingly, he says here, my enemy pursues my soul. Satan incites me to sin, then overtakes and treads my life. He goes up to condemn me and comes down to kill me. He lays my honor in the dust forever. My possessions, which bring a man honor in this world, do not come with me to the world to come, but remain on earth. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Kum Hashem b'yapecha hinaseh b'avros, Zoraroi ve'ura Eli mishpat tzivisa. Arise, O Hashem, in your anger. Lift up yourself in indignation against my adversaries. Yes, awake for me the judgment which you have commanded. David turns to God with a plea. and says, "Arise, O Hashem, in your anger. When the cry of the oppressed rises before Hashem, the attribute of judgment is aroused. God, as if descends from his permanent abode, he stands at the gates of the firmament to show his might, as it says, O Hashem, you are God to whom vengeance belongs. The God of vengeance has appeared." Accordingly, David says here, "Let my cry go up to you, arise in your anger, and lift yourself up to the portals of the firmament, that it might cause fury to come up, that vengeance might be taken, a blessing that is found in Sefer Yecheskel. Yes, awake for me the judgment which you have commanded. Do for me what you have written in the Torah, that if he will cry, I will hear, for I am merciful with grace." A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Actually, it's several psukim. The plea was answered when Shaul and his sons were killed. David did not want that Shaul and his sons be stricken by his hand, so he asked for Hashem to arise and punish them by his anger. "Lift up yourself in indignation and wrath against my adversaries. On my behalf, awake for judgment against them which you have commanded." That is past judgment of kingship. Decide who's to be king over Israel. A different emphasis reads, "Lift up yourself against my adversaries in punishment for their indignation and wrath against me. Arise in your anger. When Hashem meets out justice against the wicked, he's exalted. Thus the scripture says, it is that they be destroyed forever, which is immediately followed by, but you, O Hashem, are on high forevermore." Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. V'yadas le'umim tesevivekov v'aleho la'morom shuva. Let the congregation of peoples gather about you, and over them return you on high. Let the congregation of the peoples gather about you. If the nations gather around the Jewish people with offers of help, ignore them. Move away from them. Get yourself on high, and there dwell in your own lofty state, or else return to show them your ruling might. In another interpretation, David says, "Those who contend against my reign are as if contending against you. Therefore, those Israelite tribes, the congregation of the peoples who oppose me, are as if gathered about against you. So over them return you on high, judge them." In this sense, the continuation from the previous verse reads, "Arise, O Hashem, lift up yourself, return on high to your abode, the place of judgment." During the time that David was being persecuted by King Shaul, it was well known among the people that David had already been anointed by God to become king. As Eliyahu said, "Surely the anointed of Hashem is before him," a pasuk that is found in Shmuel Aleph. Therefore, any man who now pursued him as an enemy was acting against Hashem himself. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Hashem Yodin Amim Shofteini Hashem Kitzidki Yachsumi Oloi. The Lord will judge the nations. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. The Lord will judge the nations. Judge me. When you judge the nations, also judge me. I will then appear righteous in comparison. David speaks on behalf of himself and on behalf of the Jewish people, who are righteous compared to the other nations. We will then appear according to my righteousness and according to my integrity. Then again, David says, "I am ready to be summoned for judgment before Hashem, even if he judges the nations first. I do not fear the rage that judging the nations will arouse before him." Hence the sequence, Hashem will judge the nations and afterwards judge me. For I am certain to be exonerated according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Yigmor nora rishol mishonin tzadik uvochen libos uchloyo salakim tzadik. Let the evil of the wicked cause them to come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries their hearts and reigns. O let the evil of the wicked cause them to come to an end. Let the wickedness done by the wicked be their doom, but establish the path of the righteous man by helping him. David speaks for himself and for all the righteous of the Jewish people, for the righteous God tries the hearts and reigns. He knows who is truly a tzaddik, and who merely pretends to be a tzaddik, a righteous man. Many present themselves as righteous people who are not at all righteous, but God is a righteous judge, as we will learn in the next two psukim, who will give to each according to his deserts. Let the wicked, who are few, meet their doom. Most of the people love David, even the people of the tribe of Binyamin, the tribe of Shaul, who came to him from Ziglag. Well, let the evil of the wicked come to an end. Let the evil of the wicked perish. For Hashem does not place his name upon evil, but establish the righteous. You yourself establish him. I will not judge my pursuers, lest I err, but you will judge them. For the righteous God tries the hearts and reins. It is not in man's power to plump the hearts and reins, but you who are the righteous God will judge them. King David says that God should arise in your anger, because divine retribution serves a good purpose. For those who survive will fear and obey him. Thus it says regarding the rebellious assembly of Korah. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the fire pans out of the burning, and scatter you the fire yonder, for they have become holy. Although these men sinned so greatly that they forfeited their lives, their fire pans would be beaten into plates for covering the altar. Why so? That they have become holy, because they were offered before Hashem, that they may be assigned to the children of Israel, as found in Chumash Bamidbar. It's also explained why the portion in the scripture about the Mekoshesh, the man who gathered sticks on the Shabbos, is near the portion about the commandment of wearing tzitzis. Torah says, in effect, I plead with you, make for yourself a reminder to the commandments. Why should you not stumble into transgression and be punished like the gatherer of sticks? Regarding the commandment to wear tzitzis, it says, and you will see them, and you will remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. Accordingly, David says here, through the punishment of the wicked, you will let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. Different emphasis reads, Hashem, who tries the hearts and reins, will determine in every Jew the degree of evil in his heart. Similarly, Shmuel said, Hashem has sought him a man after his own heart. In another sense, the very evil of the wicked will be the cause of their doom, as it says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness. Pasuk found in Shmuel, their wickedness was the instrument of destruction that killed them, but established the righteous. David is speaking of Shaul himself. Those who incited him were wicked, so he asked that their evil be turned upon their own heads to destroy them. Shaul himself was righteous. In every quarrel, the righteous God tries the hearts and reins, and he knows who is right. The Medrash says, O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, this in the world, but establish the righteous. Establish the righteous rule in the world. For we know that you are the righteous God who tries the hearts and reins. For you will know what's in our hearts, but you will punish us only in accordance with our deeds. Another interpretation of the words Yigmo no ra Yishor Mishchoni Tzadik, at times Hashem will put into the heart of the wicked man personate the righteous man in order to fulfill Igmar, complete his measure of wickedness. At the same time, the suffering and the terror of the tzaddik gives him added strength and resolve. He then serves Hashem with greater devotion and awe, two aims that are thus accomplished by a single cause. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11, Magini al Elohim Moshiach Yishrelev. My shield is upon Hashem, he saves the upright in heart. My shield is upon Hashem. Hashem is my protector and savior. He is my shield, for he saves the upright in heart. It is as if Hashem were carrying my shield before him, for he saves the upright in heart, those who want to vanquish their physical passions. Although David had stumbled at one time regarding Bathsheba, he righted himself at once and overcame his nature. Thus he became the emblem of repentance, and every sin is told, turn to King David. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Elohim Shofei Tzadik Ve'el Zoem B'chol Yom. Hashem is a righteous judge, and a God that has indignation every day. Hashem is a righteous judge who pays the tzaddik in accordance with his righteousness. Yet he is a God that has indignation every day and pays back the wicked man according to his wickedness. He judges all men against whom he is indignant, and he judges them continually every day. Then again, David says, "Let no one ask me to be merciful to the wicked. Behold, Hashem judges both the righteous and the wicked by the attribute of severe judgment and by the attribute of mercy. But the wicked turn about even the attribute of mercy into the attribute of judgment." If this is so in relationship to Hashem, who is all the compassionate one, it is assuredly so for man born of woman. Our sages teach, every day when the peoples of the world behold the sun and the moon, the stars and constellations, they remove their crowns from their heads. Symbolically, they lose their reason. Their kings and nobles fall down in their worshipful prostration before the host of heavens. So the Holy One rages against them. He calls upon the angels of destruction, and he says, "I have given them a spirit and a soul, and they bow down to the sun and to the moon." That moment there is roaring in the motion of the sun as the angels of destruction set forth to destroy the world. Were it not for the scholars whom they are studying the Torah, were it not for the youngsters and their greats shouting the words of the Holy Scriptures and the Mishnah, were it not for the Jewish people reciting the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," and welcoming the yoke of heaven in the morning and in the evening, they would have demolished the world long ago. Accordingly, David says, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. The Talmud says, how long is his indignation? A moment. And how much is a moment? One part in 58,880. No man can anticipate the exact moment when God rages. No one could, that's except Bilam. Why does God mete out justice every day? For the wicked ones do not turn back from wickedness, but at all times he will whet his sword to kill me. The pasuk speaks in the future tense. Literally, Hashem will have indignation every day. Every day Hashem waits for the wicked man to repent. Then when he fails to repent, he exterminates him. Some explain that in the times that the tzaddik suffers terrible afflictions for the sins of his generation, although he is unblemished by sin, he suffers, for God has indignation every day against that generation. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Lo Yoshuv Charbo Yiltush Kashto Dorach Vechonenehom. If one does not turn back, he will wet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. If he does not turn back, the wicked man will not turn back from his evil designs. On the contrary, he will wet his sword time and time again. He will keep bent his bow in readiness for shooting. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. He has prepared for him the instruments, the weapons of death. He makes arrows sharp for pursuing. He has prepared for him the instruments of death, always keeping them in good condition and readily at hand. And he makes arrows for pursuing. He wets his sword to be like a burning fire, delika. Some say it means that he poisons his arrows to cause burning fever, telekes. He has prepared for him is also interpreted literally. Truly, he has prepared these instruments of death for him, for his own destruction in the end. He made the arrows which are then used by his pursuers against him. According to the Medrash, Dolkim means that their hearts were inflamed with transgressions during the entire lives. Rav Yossi says that is refers to those who ignited the fire which consumed the Beis Hamikdash. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Hinei Yechabel Oven Vehoro Omol Veyolat Shoker. Behold, he travails with iniquity and conceives mischief and gives birth to falsehood. David presents the evidence that Shaul persecuted him with a stubborn persistence which gave him no rest for a moment. Hence the intent of it, one does not turn back, he will wet his sword, he has bent his bow and made it ready. He kept his weapons of death in readiness at all times in order to destroy him. He has prepared for him the instruments, the weapons of death. He makes arrows sharp for pursuing. What is the evidence that Shaul made all these preparations against David rather than against the Plishtim, is Saul was finally stricken by those same instruments of the death which he had prepared, makes it plain that he conceived mischief, gave birth to falsehood. David says of his enemy, "Behold, he travails with iniquity." The term travail, chevel, literally denotes the onset of pregnancy before it is actually felt. While conceives, hora means a later stage when it is felt. Accordingly, please turn tape over to side B.